Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Arçelik conference call and live webcast to present and discuss the third quarter 2021 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Polat Şen, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Özkan Çimen, Finance and Enterprise Risk Director, and Mr. Alper Gür, Investor Relations and Capital Markets Compliance Manager. Mr. Şen, you may now proceed.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our third quarter 2021 results webcast. Before going into the details, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank all of our employees for their dedication and hard work during this year. I'll start with slide two. Let me give you the highlights of the third quarter. Our consolidated net sales was 18.1 billion Turkish lira in this challenging quarter, registering 52% year-on-year and 25% quarter-on-quarter growth. While the growth was 29% year-on-year and 6% quarter-on-quarter organically. As expected, as the demand across regions started to normalize within the quarter and raw material costs continued to increase. Despite falling demand and cost inflation, we have been able to post better EBITDA margin of 10.4% compared to the previous quarter on comparable basis, excluding the impact of acquired operations of Hitachi and Whirlpool Manisa factory. On a consolidated basis, including the impact of our recent acquisitions, EBITDA margin has stayed flat at 9.8%. The resilient profitability was a result of operational efficiency, the price increases in the market, and the positive mix impact. Our OpEx to sales ratio in third quarter came down by 194 basis points to 21.2% compared to the last quarter. On comparable basis, the ratio was down by 90 basis points to 22.1%. Enjoying the positive impact of acquisitions and improvement in net working capital items, our net working capital to sales ratio was decreased to 26.1% from 26.8% in the second quarter of the year. As of July, we have started to buy back our shares since we do not believe that Arçelik's market capitalization does not reflect its actual operating performance. As of September end, we have acquired 26.6 million shares in total, corresponding to 3.9% of the equity with weighted average price of 32.12 Turkish lira. Our leverage was 2x in this quarter, including the share buyback impact of 0.12x, still around the safe zone. Our recent acquisitions is included in the leverage calculation with three months operations. Therefore, the leverage is negatively impacted with an annualized EBITDA contribution of our recent acquisitions. The leverage would also be positively impacted, again, 0.12x, as well. You will see 2x, but comparable basis it is 0.12x, totally 0.24x less than that. Let's move on to the other slide. On our revenue on a consolidated basis has increased 52%, as I've just explained, to 18.1 billion Turkish lira in the third quarter of the year, thanks to the additional units, mainly from recent acquisitions and price increases and strong euro/dollar against Turkish lira. The growth was 29% year-on-year like-for-like basis. As I was mentioning, the raw material costs continued to increase in this quarter as well. In addition to lower capacity utilization, strong U.S. dollar and euro and relatively lower profitability of our recent acquisitions resulted around 200 basis points contraction in gross profit margin on a quarterly basis. Like-for-like basis again, our gross margin was 29.8%, reflecting the limited contraction compared to second quarter 2021. Within the period of July to September, we saw an increasing trend in gross margin, and particularly in September, our margin was above 30%. On the right-hand side, you can see our EBITDA margin, the operational efficiencies that we have created in this quarter helped us to deliver 10.4% EBITDA margin, 62 basis points higher compared to the second quarter, again on like-for-like basis. On a consolidated basis, including the impact of recent acquisitions, the margin was 9.8%, which is flattish to second quarter, as the dilutive impact of acquirees were not as high as Arçelik. I'll move on with the domestic market. In the third quarter 2021, Turkish MDA6 market was down by 11% in unit terms, as it was expected due to the strong base of the last year. Our performance were slightly better than the market, yet we posted 9% contraction in unit terms on a yearly basis. Besides cycling its strong growth a year ago, consumer appetite was not high due to the inflationary macroeconomic environment and natural disasters experienced in our country. On a cumulative basis, Turkish MDA6 market was up by 12% in 9 months, 2021, while Arçelik's volume has increased by 18% on a yearly basis. Thus, we have maintained our strong leadership position in the Turkish market. AC market grew by 25% year-on-year on the third quarter, and our AC sales have increased by 18%. TV market continued to shrink after second quarter as well. I'll move on to the European market. In Western Europe, we saw contraction at varying degrees in almost all the countries in both July and August, mainly due to the high base of last year. We have seen the highest contraction in U.K., as country is still having supply chain disruptions and driver shortages, which causes lag in delivery. In Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Romania, Poland, and Russia continued to grow, yet the growth was decelerated compared to the previous quarter. The share of European markets, I'm moving to the other slide. The share of European markets in our total sales was 43% in third quarter of 2021, of which 30% was coming from Western Europe and 13% was coming from Eastern Europe. As demand was weakening in Western European markets, Arçelik took benefit of having acquired Whirlpool Manisa factory. The additional units provided by that acquisition, together with the price increases, led revenue to be increased by 20% quarter-on-quarter and 25% year-on-year in euro terms. With strong third quarter performance, Beko has strengthened its market leadership position in U.K. as of 9 months 2021 results, while Arçelik Group was gaining slight market share in France, Spain, and Italy. In Eastern Europe, Arçelik benefited from relatively good demand and increased its top line by high teens percentage on quarterly basis. With Beko and Arctic brands, Arçelik Group maintained its strong leadership position in Romania in this quarter as well. Our price index in Russia has been increased in July and August, while we were able to gain slight market share in Ukraine with improved price index. When we look at Africa and APAC, cycling a quite strong base with lower units sold, South Africa revenue was contracted by mid- to high-single-digit percentage in third quarter on a yearly basis in euro terms. On a quarterly basis, despite the looting issues in the country, Defy was able to increase its sales both in domestic and export markets, and also increase its top line by double digits. Just like in most of our operating geographies, our strong leadership was maintained in South Africa as well, by even gaining market share in the first 9 months of 2021. In line with our strategy, APAC sales is now getting more share in our total sales with Arçelik Hitachi contribution. Arçelik Hitachi shares in total APAC region sales was 60%, while its share was 11% on a consolidated basis. Despite the fourth wave of COVID-19 and continued inflationary environment, our sales in Pakistan was 25% higher in both PKR and Euro terms on a yearly basis, thanks to the continued high demand and price increases. Having been impacted mainly by the government-imposed restrictions, our sales in Bangladesh contracted by 26% on a yearly basis in Bangladesh taka terms. When we look at the raw materials, in this quarter, average metal price index was flat compared to the previous quarter, as copper, aluminium, and electric sheet metal price negatively impacted from electric crisis that we are facing with. On the contrary, average plastic prices came down from third quarter from historic high levels compared to the last quarter, mainly due to the supply surplus normalization period and eased force majeures. We now see that the average raw material prices in fourth quarter are parallel with third quarter and expected to be parallel in first quarter as well in 2022. Yet this energy crisis that the world has been facing with so far is going to have a negative impact on some of the raw material prices. Going forward, although the uncertainties are still there, we expect the average raw material prices to be lower in 22 compared to 21. So I'm going to leave the stage to Özkan to move on from here.
Thank you. I will continue with the sales breakdown. In Q3, Turkey sales grew by 31.6% year-on-year organically. On the other side, our international sales grew by 62.7%, of which 4.4% was organic growth, 22.6% is FX impact, 35.6%, which is actually 2.8 billion TL, is coming from the acquisitions. We are benefiting from diversified operating geographies. On the right-hand side, you can see our regional revenue breakdown. The share of Turkey in total sales has gone down by 4.5% compared to the same period of the last year, and by 0.3% on quarterly basis, as our recent acquisitions enhanced our diversification. I will continue with the financials. Here you can see our detailed financials. Those figures include the impact of our acquisitions. As mentioned in the highlights section, thanks to the contribution of recent acquisitions and price increases, we have strong revenue growth of 52% on a yearly basis and 25% on a quarterly basis. Excluding the contribution of acquisitions, yearly growth was 29%, while quarterly growth was 6%. With the revenue of 18 billion TL in Q3, we have reached 45.6 billion TL in year-to-date figures. Our consolidated gross margin was 28.2% in Q3, reflecting the further increases in the raw material costs and the dilutive impact of the acquisitions. On a comparable basis, gross margin was 29.8%. Despite lower gross margin in Q3 compared to the previous quarter, we have been able to sustain our EBITDA margin as 9.8% through operational efficiency. Without the impact of acquisitions, we have delivered EBITDA margin of 10.4%. EBITDA of 1.8 billion TL is almost the same as last quarter. In year-to-date figures, we have reached 11.2% EBITDA margin, which is in line with our guidance. Thanks to the strong operational profitability, our consolidated net income was 716 million TL in Q3, which is higher than last quarter. Our net profit margin is 3.9% on a consolidated basis, while flattish on a comparable basis. In year-to-date figures, net profit is 5.1 billion TL, which is 5.2% of revenue and almost 50% higher than last year. I will continue with the net debt slide. Our leverage was 2x in the third quarter, stayed flat compared to last quarter. We have been able to manage to sustain the ratio at quite healthy levels despite cash outs of the acquisitions and having EBITDA contribution only for one quarter and cash out of Payback. When the value of the shares acquired by the end of September is added to the net debt calculation, the leverage will be 1.83. If we consider the impact of annualization impact of EBITDA, it will be 1.76x. On the right-hand side, you can also see our loan and bond portfolio with 21 billion equivalent, which is where 35% of the portfolio is Turkish lira loan and bond. As you know, we are financing our Turkish business working capital needs in Turkish lira loans. Starting from the first quarter of this year, as the market rates have gone up, our effective interest rates have been higher. As of September, the effective rate is for the loan of Turkish lira is 17.2%, still lower than the average market borrowing rate. We have redeemed our 350 million euro Eurobond in September, therefore our gross debt decreased compared to the second quarter. Next slide, you will see breakdown of working capital, CapEx and free cash flow. In this strong quarter, we have generated positive free cash flow of 43 million. Net working capital to sales ratio is improved from 26.8%-26.1%. Strong EBITDA together with an improved net working capital sales and flattish CapEx sales ratio helped us to post positive free cash flow. On cumulative basis, as of September, our free cash flow was negative at 3 billion Turkish lira. However, in the coming quarter, we expect to create better free cash flow compared to the previous quarters. Now I will leave the floor to Polat for the guidance.
Thank you very much, Özkan. We have decided to make slight adjustment to our revenue guidance, compared to the second quarter, while keeping all other items the same. Based on our most recent forecast, we increased our Turkey sales growth expectation from 30%-35%, and our consolidated sales growth expectation from 50%-55%. Please kindly be informed that almost half of our 35% international sales growth guidance is the revenue contribution of our recent acquisitions. As we are getting closer to the year-end, we are quite confident to achieve our guidance in all lines. Thank you very much for listening to us. We are expecting your questions.
The first question is from the line of Lanka Sashank with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. Good afternoon and good evening, everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. My question is related to the raw material prices, especially in the plastics market. I think in the last few weeks, we've seen prices go up pretty significantly due to the Chinese dual control policy that we are seeing. I just wanted to understand how are your raw material contracts right now, over this quarter as well as Q1 next year, and how should we be looking at the trajectory? I know you said it's gonna be flat Q-on-Q, but just wanted to get a more six-month kind of a view here. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. To be honest, you know, we have been going through a lot of crises this year. You know, first the chipset crisis, then the logistics crisis. Now we are facing the energy crisis. All those are affecting every single raw material item in a different way. Especially with this energy crisis, we are mainly affected with
the price pressure from, for example, aluminium is affected a lot in our industry, as they are using a lot of electricity to melt for the smelters. And then also copper is affected. That is something that we expect that the electricity prices is going to be affecting. And also glass manufacturers are affected that we are using in washing machines and refrigerators and ovens as well. So those are the prices that we expect to be a little bit under pressure in terms of increase. But with the other raw materials like cold rolled steel, you know, polystyrene, etc., we do not see that high increase in terms of pressure, price pressure. So for quarter four, I have to talk average to average, because as I told, you know, every single raw material is moving in a different way. But in average to average comparison, quarter four is going to be very similar to quarter three, and we expect the same trend to continue in quarter one as well. So in 6 months perspective, we do not really expect a huge change in the raw material prices. That is the expectation. And we already are living Q4, and we are starting to discuss for Q1 as well. So we have some information about it. But after that, you know, starting from quarter two, we expect a decrease actually, which is going to make 2022 average raw material prices less than 2021 average raw material prices, all in all. Thank you.
Thank you. Very clear.
The next question is from the line of Demirtaş Semal with Ata Invest. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation. My question is about the contribution of Hitachi and Whirlpool. Could you further elaborate the details? What portion of that was from Hitachi and what portion of that was from Whirlpool? And could you give some color for the rest of the year and for the following year from that business? Thank you.
Cemal Bey, just to understand your question better, which part of P&L or balance sheet you're asking about? Is it the sales or profitability or where?
First, from the revenue side, I see some numbers from the, you know, the food notes, from some numbers for, you know, for Hitachi around 2 billion something. But I want to understand the revenue contribution in the third quarter. That's my question. And if you give some, you know, color on the EBITDA side, it will be all more than welcome. And, you know, for the following quarter, because we were making some estimates based on, you know, the some rough estimates, euro based, and it's a little bit lower than what I thought. So I want to understand, you know, what could be the trend for for the following year. Thank you.
Yes, in terms of sales, Hitachi's contribution was around 2 billion, a little bit over 2 billion Turkish liras. And Manisa factory was around 750, a little bit over 750 million Turkish liras. So when we look at the EBITDA, as we have tried to explain, without the contributions of those companies, it's 10.4. With the contribution of those companies, it's 9.8. I do not have the numbers with me right now, one by one, but it's obviously clear that Hitachi and Manisa factories are, in terms of EBITDA, it is lower, but in total average, it is 6.8% for the acquisitions EBITDA. In the coming months, our expectation from those acquisitions, or let's say in the coming year, we are expecting some synergies to kick in. So we expect upside potential in 2022 for the acquisitions that we have made this year. It's really very not easy to say because of this volatile raw material issues that we have, we are living in. But definitely, we have been working in these companies right now for 3 months, and we see a lot of synergy opportunities, especially in the raw materials and on the supplier side. And also, we see a lot of synergies, especially in the APEC region, that we can utilize some of our capabilities and their capabilities. So I can say that it is going to be higher than this year. Definitely.
In the ethic space, right? US dollar, euro, or euro based.
Sorry, I didn't get the question. Sorry.
Okay, it's in euro or US dollar based. You mean, right?
What is euro or US dollar? The number that I told.
Yes. The levels you mean, in terms of the size, should be based in the US dollar or just the euro?
The ones that I have explained is 2 billion and 750 was Turkish liras actually, in total. In euro terms, we are talking about for Hitachi, it's around 200, more than 200 million euros, more or less. And for Manisa, it's around 75 million euros for these 3 months.
Okay. Thank you. And as a follow-up, I see some minority interest, which is higher in this quarter, around 65 million. What is it related to? When we come to the net income, right? Like subtract that number, minority, I see higher number, 65 million in third quarter. And I see a higher EBIT depreciation, by the way. Could we assume that the depreciation will remain at current levels, or should we expect some increase in quarterly, the depreciation for the following quarters?
Cemal Bey, the minority impact is actually related to the Hitachi acquisition because there are some minorities in the subsidiaries underneath our JV. So I will provide you more detail after the call for that variance, but it's related to Hitachi.
And the depreciation side, actually, the difference could be related to the acquisitions again. But let us check and get back to you on that one as well. We should be, if this is related to the acquisitions, I think we should be expecting this level of depreciation from now on.
Okay, because I see around 460 million TL depreciation for the third quarter, and it was 380. So around 8 million higher depreciation. So that's why I ask. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kilikiran Hanzadeh with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Polat Bey, Özkan Bey. I have three questions. The first one is regarding the demand outlook. So how do you see the current market trend both in Turkey and in the international markets? And maybe particularly for Turkish market, do you believe that you may be able to pass the FX impact to retail prices without hurting the demand? Second question is about the cost pressure. I mean, there are many different views around the cost inflation for the industry, actually. And I try to understand what type of scenario do you reflect your cost assumptions so that you see a decline on your cost, on material costs in the fourth quarter. And recently, there was some sort of news flow regarding the shortage of magnesium, which may impact the aluminium. So is this something that could affect your industry? I think China is supplying to magnesium, so there is some sort of shortage there. And the third question is about your EBITDA margin guidance. You are very close to your guidance at the moment. Do you see any sort of risk in the fourth quarter for the full year? Because I think fourth Q is traditionally a lower quarter from a margin perspective. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I'll start with the demand outlook. We have just started our budgeting process for 2022, and the understanding for 2022 in terms of demand, both for let's say European markets and the Turkish market, looks all right. We are expecting growth in the European markets. That is what I can say. But in Turkey, because of the strong growth and basis of this year, we think that the growth should be limited. I think it should be, in terms of units, it should be around low single digits in Turkey. That is our expectation. And in terms of FX effect in Turkish market, yes, we are really trying to adjust our prices in order to keep our profitability. And is it affecting the demand? Yes, it is. We have started to see that the demand is affected. That's why we are a little bit, let's say, more cautious about giving high growth in for next year for the domestic market in terms of units. But in the other markets, we are expecting growth, including, you know, Europe, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and South Africa, which are our bigger piece markets. And also, we are expecting some growth in APEC region as well. And we are expecting growth in the Hitachi side as well. In terms of cost assumption, you said, you talked about the shortage of magnesium, which is affecting aluminium. Yes, we are constantly, you know, following up any issue that may come up, let me say. But right now, we do not see anything, you know, high alert situation in any of the raw materials that we are using. It is still manageable, and we do not really expect a kind of, you know, stoppage in production or something like that in the coming quarters because of those shortages in the market. Because it's not only about aluminium, I have to say. We are also experiencing the same in the, for example, electrical steel that we are buying as well. But all of them are still manageable. That's what I can say. On the EBITDA margin guidance side, it is important for you to understand that in the second quarter, we had a sharp decline in EBITDA and our gross profitability. April was better, but May and June, it started declining. We stopped the decline in July and August. So it was very flattish to May and June, July and August. Especially in September, we have been able to increase our gross profitability again with the measures that we have taken in price, in promotions, in mixes, etc. So right now we have changed the, let's say, the direction of the growth to acceleration. So we are expecting better margins, especially in October. And in November and December, of course, December is a half month, so the margin is going to decrease. We are counting into that. That's why we think that November and October is not going to be harsh as April to August period. So our expectation is fourth quarter to be in line with our expectations, and that's why we didn't change the guidance for the year end on EBITDA.
Thank you, Polat Bey. It's very clear.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Demirtaş Semal with Ata Invest. Please go ahead.
I have three more questions. The first one is about the financial expense side. I see the numbers for interest expense. We were expecting a little bit higher. I see that there's a normalization in interest expense side. That's my first question for the following years, assuming, you know, what's your assumptions for the interest rates and potential impact on you. And, you know, normally I get the numbers from your details. I didn't have that time this time. But did you have any FX gain in this quarter or FX loss? That's related to all financial and FX side. The other question is about the Competition Board investigation. What was it about? And do you make any comment on that for what reason it was in the agenda? And the third question was about the tax side. Effective tax rate was 7% in third quarter. Could we assume this low effective tax to continue for the fourth quarter? Thank you. And for the following year, any color? Thank you.
All right. I'll answer the question on Competition Board investigation, and I'll hand over to Özkan to answer the other questions. The Competition Board investigation is a general investigation that the Competition Board decided to go, and they have according to their claims, they have made the investigation and sent us what they have found, and now we are they expected a kind of a defense from us and are trying to understand what our position is, and we are trying to explain. We do not think that we are in a position as of today to be able to make a judgment on whether that is going to be an important thing or not. But right now, we are thinking that that is something that we should be able to explain to them. But it will take time. Because that is a bureaucratic investigation at the end of the day. There are some phases that we have to go through. And whenever we have enough information or, something that would really we understand, if we understand that there is an impact on our financials, we are going to be sharing with the public.
So I will continue with the interest financial expense side. In Q3, we have a finance expense of around 500 million TL. Actually, this is mainly impacted, it got increased compared to the previous quarters because of the Turkish borrowing in our portfolio has increased. As I mentioned, we had some low rate loans in our portfolio where we need to roll and have high rate interest loans, and the average is around 17%, and most of the interest is fixed rate, so therefore we do not expect a much increase in next year, in the coming year, but due to lower rates renewable with the higher rates, we expect around 100 basis points increase for the Turkish lira side of our portfolio. And regarding your question of the FX gain and loss, this quarter we have a loss of 57 million Turkish lira, but in year-to-date figures, it's almost zero FX gain or loss, so we don't have any loss in year-to-date figures. Why is it so, if you ask? Because our side of exposure affects the side of our aids by our sell side. In times where we have long exposure, we announced FX gains due to swap differentials. This has changed after the acquisition cash out. So our net US dollar position turned out to be short, and we executed dollar Turkish lira buy side forward deals in order to hedge our position. And this shift ended up with FX loss due to, again, swap differentials, but this time as a loss in this quarter. And in the coming months, actually, we do not expect a higher loss. It will be close to break even because our US dollar position is not high in terms of short. So it will be close to break even in the coming quarter. For the tax side, as you said, our effective tax rate has come down in last quarter and this quarter as well. The main reason behind it is the R&D incentives that we have in Turkey and also investment incentives, which increases our deferred tax assets. As we are an investing company, our CapEx is increasing, therefore, the deferred tax asset in relation to that CapEx expenditure is also increasing. Coming from the Turkey operations effective tax rate impact, we have a lower effective tax rate in Q3. However, we do not expect a further decrease in the coming quarter. It will be close to the average rate in year-to-date figures.
Thank you. And one last question about the Hitachi side. When I look at the details, as you mentioned, to her, you recorded around 2 billion Turkish lira revenue from Hitachi. And the net income impact was around 122 million Turkish lira, as I see from these figures. And I see that the net margin of Hitachi was around 6% in second quarter, in third quarter, and full year it was 7.8. In that Hitachi, and the EBITDA should be lower, but I understand that there are some other contribution from the you know, Hitachi side, which has higher, that's maybe you have higher net margin in that business. Could you give some, you know, the just indication about that for the following quarters? You know, it's a more detailed question maybe, but I see that the net margin is higher for that Hitachi side.
Let me give you clear it, Cemal Bey. Hitachi is a net cash positive company, so they do not have any financial expenses, rather they have financial income. So working capital is positive there, and also the net cash position is positive there. That is the main reason actually why EBIT, between the EBIT margin is around, as you said, it's around 6.2%, and the profit after tax is around 6.4%. So it's more or less the same because there's no financial expense, basically.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Clear.
The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Blanka Shashank with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Sorry if you already covered this, but I just wanted to understand what's driving the guidance increase for Turkey revenues. Is it being driven by volumes or is this more pricing driven?
It's mainly price increases that we have because of the Turkish lira depreciation. We had to adjust the prices, and that is affecting the last quarter three and quarter four revenue to be higher. So that's why we needed to re-guide the Turkish domestic market increase in sales.
Okay, thank you.
We do have a follow-up question from the line of Demirtaş Semal with Ata Invest. Please go ahead.
And Polat Bey, lately I see more commercials related to some campaigns just organized by, you know, Arçelik and Beko in local media. Are they also, you know, normal you know, within your, you know, the plans or? You know, are we seeing additional promotion activities in the fourth quarter? Thank you.
Promotional activities and advertisement campaigns We always do, as you know, we are one of the most active companies in the market. We do not have any specific strategy to increase our advertisement spending in the last quarter. But of course, in order to increase the mix, etc., they are making some campaigns accordingly, and they are trying to make people hear about that. But I don't think that it is a negligible increase, if there is an increase, that I'm not aware of any specific strategy on increasing the advertisement in Turkey.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Kilkiran Hanzade with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Polat Bey, I have a question about your share buyback program. You already get to around 5% of the capital now, I think, according to my calculation. So what is the room here? Will we continue on this, or it's now almost completed?
Yes, we are close to 5%, not yet there. We think that still the Arçelik valuation as of today is a company who is making almost 75% of of its sales with hard currencies mainly, or let's say outside Turkey. I think that the hit that we have taken in terms of market cap in US dollar terms is something that we think is not fair, and that's why we will keep on continuing the program. As you know, we have announced that we are going to buy up to 10%, and as long as we see this situation, we are going to keep on buying realizing our share buyback program. That is the intention.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further audio questions nor any webcast questions at this time. I will now pass the floor to Mr. Sen for any closing comments. Thank you.
Right. I would like to thank everyone who has participated in the call at this late time in Turkey. Thank you very much. If you have any further questions, please contact our investor relations department so that we can help you understand the numbers better. Thanks. Good evening.